Yesterday, it was explained what really meant by spirituality and what the people generally take it to be. Spirituality is not the performance of the outer rites and rituals, reading of scriptures, visiting holy places, or performing this custom or that custom. Those are meant only for the preparation for spirituality. So we read scriptures. You know what do they contain? The masters who traversed into the beyond, and whatever they had experienced there, they gave a very sweet stories of the future. After, when you rise above body consciousness, where the world philosophies end, there the religion starts. So that is, reading of scriptures give us it. What you said, interest to know what is beyond. This is something, reading about those travels what they had in their lives, but unless we also go there and see those things with our own eyes and experience the same thing of our own selves, that's quite a different thing. So reading of scriptures is the first thing. But you know, the right interpretation thereof can only be given by somebody who has been to those three places already. If he has not been there, he will simply give their interpretation at the level of intellect, so each one would differ. So I am just putting before you, the first step is to read the scriptures which are with us, fortunately, of all masters who came in the past up to date. We are fortunate. But what do they really contain, as I submit to you? Those what they experience, we should also experience. Only then that is truly speaking meant by the word spirituality. Who we are, what we are, what is our connection with the body, whether we can rise above body consciousness at will, traverse into the beyond, higher planes are more beautiful than the physical plane. There are so many mentions in the house of our father, macrocosm is in the microcosm. These are some of the statements given by those masters in the past who visited those places. By reading those things that creates an interest in us, we should also go and see. This is one thing. To visit the holy places of worship of masters, which are called places of pilgrimage, we go there just to remind what those masters who lived there preach. And also, by going there means reminding us of that higher life which they led. Similar, all other performances of the rites and rituals, going to the temple, light a candle there, and ring the bell there, it is reminding us that this outer temple is made out of the model of man, which is the true temple of God, in which the light of God is effulgent and music of the spheres is reverberating within us. So that those are made as models for those who are beginners to know what is what. So performance, those are meant for good purpose. They are good action, because they are meant to know about our own self and know about our own God. They are symbols, they are kept. Similar in churches like that, in mass like that. So they go to show the such light. You see, everywhere light is lit. Some form of music is there. So that only goes for those who are just preparing the way and hanker after knowing the truth, which is given by models outside, to realize, to see with our own inner eyes those very things which are demanded outside. So other rituals also stand the same. So there are two sides of religion. One is exotic, the other is esoteric. Exotic side, we are falling. To remain in such social body is a blessing, otherwise there will be corruption. But to remain in some social body and do not derive that very thing for which purpose we have joined that special social body, it is, in few words, not deriving the full benefit of joining that social body. All religions, exotic side also, read scriptures of the masters, go to temples which are made out in marble of man body, and go to the holy places where those masters lived sometime, just to remind us of the higher goal before us, and that is to know God and to know ourselves. This is the exotic side. And the other thing, that we should have ethical life, normal life. So all, where are we, are these are good actions. They are meant for the purpose of knowing God. But it is knowing God is something else than to have some models to represent us, such like light sound is within us and such like sound is reverberating within us. You follow the difference between the two? So spirituality is the way back to God. Word religion also means free, means back, leisure to bind. So binding our soul back to God. Word yoga also means the same thing. It comes from the word root yuj. That means joining ourselves to God. So there's a vast difference. One is seeing and doing. But you say worshipping. To see and worship, that's something else. To do, perform certain things for that original thing for which they stand for, it is a different thing. They are good actions. As we are the doer, we have to reap the whatever we sow, so shall we reap. They are good actions, we will have good results of them. But the masters lay before us the goal, see and then say. God is light. When your inner eye, single eye is open to see the light of God, that's all right, God is light. God is reverberating in all creation. See that eye, that ear, when you see really He is reverberating in all creation, then praising God that He is reverberating all, permeating all creation. This is the goal of the saints, masters set up before us. Remain where you are, those are not to be changed. This is the first step. Man is a social being, must have some social body to live in. So masters, when they come, they don't touch social body. The social body difference I explained to you last night are due to climatic influences or customs prevailing in various countries, or further to bigotry and narrow-mindedness. Truth is one, target is one, their orders are many. So all religions, wherever they are, we all have a goal before us to know God And to know God we must know ourselves. So wherever you are, that's all right. So what all the scriptures say, that our goal is to know God. And all masters say that God is everywhere and the nearest approach is within your man body. The whole universe, the whole world, the earth below and sky overhead is the big temple of God. And the small miniature scale man body is the temple of God. And we who reside as well as that power resides, whom we have to meet. That I also explained to you last night, this is a wonderful house of the man body in which we live. There are so many apertures, we cannot run away out of it. We are controlled. Body works so long as we are in the body, and we are in the body so long that power, which is called God into spiritual power, is controlling us in the body. Both the one who seeks Him and the whom He is after, both have the same place, same body to live in. But the pity it is that the one who has to see Him, is after Him, he is identified with the world outside. The only thing required, spirituality means withdrawing your attention from all outside and from the outgoing faculties and from the body below, come up to the seat of the soul in the body which is at the back of the eyes, where one leaves the body at the time of death. So Saint Plutarch tells us, those who are initiated into the mysteries of the beyond, their soul has the same experience as it has at the time of death, of leaving the body. Now there's a vast difference between the two. Spirituality. Spirituality aims at beatitude, beatific vision. To see God, is there a possibility of seeing God? Master says yes. Which God? That God which came into expression. Absolute God, nobody has seen God at any time. When he wanted a one wish to be many, the God into expression power has two aspects, light and sound. That we can see, of course. Not with the eyes of flesh and bones or ears, outer ears. So I submitted to you last night, who is called a master, who is a guru, two sides of the world, and what do we take it ourselves at our own level. So guru or master is the one who is word made flesh, who has traversed access into the beyond. Their body works in the world, but their soul is in tune with God, mouthpiece of God. They appear to be engaged in all the world over outside, but whenever they want, they rise above body consciousness and traverse into the beyond. And those who meet them for the purpose, they give them a demonstration as to how to rise above body consciousness, with little thought of theirs. So this is, truly speaking, spirituality. Spirituality, no spirit in there, submitted yesterday, no spiritualism, no mesmerism, no hypnotism. So all what the masters say, tell us, we have to know God, where to go. We are now seeking in the temples. Those are models, like dolls put before you, to understand that such like God is light and such like some people. Outer custom, the other thing, your mental health, you can keep your body fit, have a devotional attitude. So these are good actions. But knowing God is something else that cannot be had unless you know yourself. So all masters said, know thyself. East or west. Knowing oneself means a matter of self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, and knowing God. That is, you see. So this process of knowing oneself and knowing God, withdrawing from all outside, rising above body consciousness, is called spirituality. What they see, what they say, they see that we have seen God. Where? In this very man's body. What are those eyes which you have seen? They say those eyes are hidden, not the outer hall of flesh and bones which he can be seen. Which God? God into expression power, not the absolute God. Then why, we ask him, why don't we see? He says, because mind stands between you and God. Your souls are in the control of mind. Mind is under the control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are dragging you to the enjoyments of the outside. So long as we do not rise above this delusion, and not by self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, we cannot see God. Like know the light. They say we have seen, why can't we see? So all masters have said the same thing. We are sticking to the outside. All rituals, customs, and performance of prayers and devotional practices which is related to the outgoing faculties, body or mind or intent. They are good actions. You reap the good results of it. Doers will go on, the same wheel of life will carry you on, come and go. When you are able to see that He is the God working all through creation, He is the controlling of all creation and us in the body, and we are mere puppets here, that He is controlling all of that. So when we become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, then our ego is lost. So the results of the actions of the brief past, who will be there to bear fruit of that? So Master says, we have seen God. Where? I just refer to Guru Amar Das, who was in search of it for 70 long years. He performed all those rituals, ways of practices, other methods, performing havanas and others, whatever it is. He has been doing all 70 years, visiting various places of pilgrimages, and met all yogis and others. Ultimately, when he met his master, he gave him a demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness, and came face to face and become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, which is controlling us in the body in all universe. Then he said, such a, it is a great blessing to such heavenly master. So ordinary teachers of the outer sciences, we have respect for them, whatever we have learnt at their feet. But this science is the ABC of this science starts when you rise above body consciousness. Where the world's last end, there is the start. With all your outer devout actions and spending years and years in the performance of all outside practices, they are good actions. We cannot deny it. But the doership is there. You would have to bear the fruit of that. Unless you become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, your single eye or the third eye or the Shiva nature is open, your latent eye, divki shu, you see that He is the doer, He is the controlling power of all, we are mere puppets, then only we await the reactions of the past. So Guru Amar Das, when he had that privilege, sitting as the master, he told out Well, you are after God. Yes. Then why are you running outside? He is within you already. Prophet Muhammad says that God has told me that I am so great that all these universes, all these planets, whatever are made, are not sufficient to contain me. I am more than that, more bigger than that. But he says, strangely now, I reside in the heart of a devotee. You see? If you want to meet me, go there, in which he is manifest. So I can reside in small heart there, in that body. All the world, the universe are not said to contain me. So all Master says, he is within us. They give examples like that. You see, because there's, for instance, milk. So butter is in the milk, but you don't believe it. Unless, but milk is, you see, just made, what you say, curd, and curd is a further out of that to take up butter, then say, really, butter is in the milk. Those who have not seen this process, they say, how can butter be in the milk? You see? So similarly they say, just, Master always tell us to just tap inside. They don't tell you to go around with the outward things, because whom you want to meet is already with you. He is waiting for you. So he says, this man body, which is the long cave, this is long cave, dark inside. He says in this, that God, which cannot be seen, at the level of outgoing faculties or mind or intellect, that resides there. Why can't we say, first thing, He is inside you also, and all outer world is also His expression. As I submitted, that the earth below and sky overhead is the biggest church, biggest temple, there is no place where that God is, God into expression is not. But in the man body, inside also you can see, when your inner eyes open, you also see Him all outside. Now in the air, all atmosphere, you don't see it, you see it is all vacant. There is nothing there. But if you see through a microscope, which magnifies a thing for 700 miles more, when you see through it, you find all this atmosphere full of insects. Whereas they are even now full of them, but as those things are not up to the level of a physical body, we cannot see. So when your attention is withdrawn from outside, outgoing faculties, rise above body consciousness, divide of all outer things, that inner eye is open. You see, God is pervading everywhere. God is light. So He is within you also, all outer world is also His expression, but for those whose eyes are open, inner eye is open. So Master says, how to have it? He says, sit at the feet of some master who will open your eye to see the light of God. As I submitted yesterday, that God sealed our ears and our eyes, and then that God comes in the form of man to open the ears. All Masters say, Guru word means who can remove the darkness from before you and make the light of God effulgent, manifest. The word Guru means that. So, light is there. We are light. Take heed that the light is not darkness. To have that light within you is symbols of which are given all outer churches and places of all. He says, because you got it outside the long years, Sita, he says that I am Holocaust, I sacrifice myself at the 2 feet of such a master with whose grace my inner eye was opened and I began to see the God reverberating in all creation. That is called Naam, or word. God is nameless, God is wordless. When He wanted to be many, that power that came to expression is called Naam, or called word. And whole creation came into being after that. That God in expression power is the cause of all creation, and that permeates all creation. He says, I am sacrificed to my Master who has made that bread of life, water of life, the God into expression, gave me a contact with that, by having which I am having now everlasting life. We are giving a contact with someone who never died, ever eternal. So our soul is also of the same essence as that of God. God is all consciousness, all intelligence, all attention. We are also conscious entities. We are also attention. So he says that bliss and sweetness, that beatitude that I had by coming in contact with that elixir or the nectar of God into expression power and Naam or word, by having that sweetness, my mind left all outer enjoyments. Master says, we see, why can't you see? Because mind stands in your way. Our souls are led away by mind, mind is led away by outward faculties, and outward faculties are driven like anything to the outward enjoyments. We are identified with that unless we rise above that. We cannot see, we cannot know ourselves too. But what is remedy? Unless the mind gets some more sweet, more enjoyment, as compared with the outside enjoyment, he won't leave outside enjoyment. So outer things, all practices, all customs, all readings give you for a while for which mind it takes rest. After all, again it runs away. But God has provided within us that nectar of life, the water of life, and the bread of life, and which is the outer expression of the God into expression power, light and sun. So that are the highest elixir. When one's mind has that experience, that enjoyment, it does not again run to the outer enjoyment. Now it does not like to leave the outer enjoyments, but when it gets a little taste of that higher bliss, then if he once goes inside, he would not like to come out. So he says, how to that bread of life? How to have that blood, water of life? This man body, this is standing in the way. So Kabir says, I went out to have a pilgrimage to Makkah. On the way, God met me and rebuked me. Where are you going? I am in you. Why are you running outside? Why are you outside? So God is within us, all masters say like that. being in the true temple of God and going to the models made to represent the true temple of God, is it wise enough?
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was called The Kingdom of God is Within You, and was given by Master on October the 10th, 1972, in New York City. Our reader this morning is Marcia Crosby. Hello, Marcia.
Good morning, everyone. Today, I'm going to continue reading from Spiritual Elixir, Part 2, which is excerpts from Master's letters, and I'm reading in the section entitled Social Conduct and Ethical Life. Satsang is a great helping factor. There, you imbibe the sacred teachings in their right perspective and gain inner devotion for higher spiritual life. It is during these serene moments of bliss and harmony that you are near the fountainhead of divinity and can assimilate the loving life impulses radiated by the gracious Master Power for His children. I am happy to know that the satsang is growing. This is all with the grace of the Master. Please continue working selflessly, and as you do, more divine inspiration and grace will be forthcoming from above. Karmas, rightly performed in a spirit of service to the divine, can lead to spiritual emancipation. They should be performed without fear of punishment or hope of reward. It should be spontaneous. You can direct your own destiny. In brief, selfless devotion to duty is the keynote to success on the path of action. Man has not to exert himself except in molding himself ethically and morally to that climax of love, sincerity, and humility, which will produce the necessary state of receptivity in him. Everything else is in the hands of the Master. Love knows selfless service, sacrifice, and self-surrender. Let no one interested in spiritual advancement perform service for the sake of appreciation. Selfless service is a great reward in itself. I am glad the satsang is growing and the recorded talks played on the tape recorder are being heard with such pleasure. It is indeed heartening to find that the sincere yearners are flocking to the holy fold, and your selfless efforts are appreciated. Your loving testimony for the gracious Master Power in the holy congregations is notable. It is the work of the Lord and the faithful initiates, and it is possible to enjoy His grace in increasing measure. Your efforts will invoke His grace in increasing measure, and many dear ones awaiting their turn will come to share the divine grace. Your loving efforts in satsang will enable many world-weary and forlorn children to find their way back to the true home of their Father under the guided protection of the Living Master. It is a service of the highest order, and fortunate are the chosen few who are made instrumental in the divine setup. You will be able to liberate many aspiring souls from the wheel. I am glad to find that you had a beautiful and harmonious satsang meeting where the whole atmosphere was charged with the overwhelming love and grace of the Master Power. The Father is always pleased to see the loving children putting their heads together for the holy cause. and he radiates his loving life impulses for the spiritual benefit of the dear ones. Your deep gratitude for the manifold blessings from the gracious Master Power are notable. It is the first step towards divine grace, which is extended in ever-increasing abundance to the child disciple. Those awake to this sublime truth enrich their lives and become a source of inspiration to others. I am glad to find that you welcome the dear ones who meet together at your home for holy meditations. It is a reward in itself. The very place becomes sanctified where dear initiates sit in holy meditation. It is the climax of divine grace when the loving children put their heads together for the holy cause, which in turn reflects on the organization as a whole. Keeping a daily record or diary is the best method to become conscious of one's shortcomings and errors, eradicate and uproot them, and plan future progress. Without such self-analysis and self-criticism, no real advancement is possible. It is true that without an ethical background, there can be no spiritual headway. Whosoever keeps to these principles has a possibility of spiritual growth, no matter whether he is rich or poor. The rich people, however, derive such benefits in a much lesser degree than the others. Yes, you are correct. All efforts made by the disciple to efface the personal I are in the right direction, because elimination of the ego is the only means of liberation from the unending cycle of births and deaths. It is good that the satsang meetings are so harmonious and lovely, although not too large in attendance. Please stress to the dear ones the importance of regular attendance at satsang and of the holy meditations, which carry a deep significance. Increasing contacts within and the peace-giving strains of holy music and divine light are the only effective remedies for the horrible dangers and anxieties that are facing humanity due to the invention of greatly advanced weapons of destruction. Fortunate are the selected few who have been blessed with the sacred boon of holy initiation into the mysteries of the beyond. It is now up to them to make hay while the sun shines. It is in their own best interest to continue on lovingly and to make progress from day to day. My advice is from this day on to make love and self-surrender the cornerstones of your life. If you do this, you will find your life becoming daily a blessing. You must endeavor to cultivate a large capacity for self-surrender to and love for the Master if you wish to make substantial progress in the spiritual field. I have said many times, the path is not easy. You must crucify your ego and lay your selfhood at the altar of love for your Master. I am glad you love the Master. God is love, and Master is love personified. He emits rays of love to be attuned to by those on the way as well as to others who are struggling to find God. Happy and fortunate are those whose vessel is cleansed and are ready to receive the sweet nectar of Master's grace. There is only one remedy for all discord and inharmony, and that is love. He who has not mastered its secret can never hope to be received in the court of the Lord. It is the beginning and the end of spirituality. He who understands love and its true nature, and who lives and moves by its light, shall, as two and two, make four, attain the Lord. Yes, it is well to help others and do the best for them, but do not be concerned with the fruits of what you do. That is something that you must leave to the Master. Make your love for him so complete that, beholding his hand in everything, you rise above all feelings of enmity, rivalry, and resentment. See him present in all, and remember that he is always with you, ready to assist whenever you turn your thoughts to him. And above all, do not forget that he is to be won not by words but by deeds. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you can do this, if you can conquer the self and surrender it at the feet of the Master, if you can learn to see him working through all things, if you can accept the fact of your own limited vision, if you can undertake a ceaseless and zealous watch over your thoughts and deeds, weeding out all evils and imperfections, you shall not only win salvation yourself, but enable others to do likewise. I am glad to find that you are serving the holy cause by conveying the gospel of love and truth to the hungry child humanity. A compassionate attitude for the sufferings of humanity cleanses the inner dross of the mind, and one becomes more receptive to the incessant grace flowing from the gracious Master power. It always pays to radiate love, compassion, mercy, and forbearance. By love, serve one another, so that others may know and see for themselves that you belong to the living Master who has opened the divine gates of divinity within, for proceeding back to your true home. Spirituality is not an expression of any particular faith. It is of no consequence as to what faith you profess. Let us all join the army of God, and the qualification for joining is righteousness, which consists of kind thoughts, kind words, and kind deeds. I wish everyone to live a clean and pure life and rise above in the higher planes and enjoy the security and calmness, both inner and outer, during the sojourn here, and to eventually reach one's true eternal home. To expect that after initiation the affairs of the world would so change that bitter things would never come your way is a mistaken idea. Ups and downs do come here as a result of the reactions of one's own doings. They have to be faced and squared up. If we were to run away from them, the debts will remain unliquidated. When something is to be given, it is always better to give it and be free. The way that the Master has given works both ways. It gives progress within, which strengthens one's powers of tolerance and humility to face trials and tribulations with equanimity, while severity and duration of such hardships are toned down considerably. One should, therefore, lead a life that the Master wants him to live, and be regular in his meditations with loving faith and devotion. If one is to be influenced by anything, let the good in others influence him, for nothing else should. Married life is no bar to spirituality if lived according to the ethical code laid down in the Scriptures. A chaste life in husband and wife is a source of health, vigor, and energy to them. Master power is always with you, working overhead, extending all feasible love and protection. A loving father would not like to see his child remain in the cradle forever, but would be happy to see the child stand up and walk, and will surely offer his hand to the child in his efforts to stand up and walk. My love goes to you. Rest assured. The disciple reaches his final goal in proportion to his own integrity, loyalty, and devotion to the Master. If you aspire for spiritual salvation, do not lose a moment in seeking to reform yourself. This is the task before you. Let your love for the Master be absolute, and your obedience to his wishes be uncompromising. Work for his cause to the best of your ability, but do not let the individuality of your limited vision inculcate feelings of opposition and resentment for your companions or your friends. So long as one has not attained universal consciousness, differences of opinion are bound to exist. But if one understands their cause, one will not allow them to disturb one's peace of mind. Whatever the outer opposition, whatever the opinions of others, if one has surrendered oneself completely to one's love for the Master, then nothing can ever disturb one's equanimity or obstruct one's spiritual course. He who is upset by what others have to say is without question one who is still controlled by ego and has yet to conquer his self. He has yet to learn the rudiments of spirituality. Let me therefore command you as a father, exhort you as a teacher, persuade you as a friend, to turn to the reformation and conquest of the self if you seek to progress on the inner path. Let your effort be an effortless effort, and devote time in a loving way, reposing your hopes in the Master power overhead. The diary is meant for one's personal use and helps to bring out many of the hidden, underlying weaknesses to the surface so that one may begin to see them and try to remove them one by one. And with their removal, life becomes pleasant and spiritual progress is accelerated. I am glad to find that you have benefited immensely from the august physical presence of the Master during my recent foreign tour. Loving humility, coupled with complete surrender, are the ennobling virtues for imbibing the sacred teachings in the right perspective. Implicit obedience for the holy commandments grants ineffable joy, within which, furthermore, multiplies in great abundance when assimilated with care and caution. A true disciple revels in inner bliss, giving silence, and has great tolerance and moderation in all things. The Father is always pleased to see the loving children putting their heads together for the holy cause. The gracious Master power is always looking after the truly sincere and yearning souls to be found and brought to the holy path. The spiritual aspirants need inculcate and exhibit rare tolerance and loving cooperation in their families. You should be more respectful and devoted to your dear husband in the larger interests of your spiritual progress. Do not bother about petty resentments which others may profess due to their short-sightedness and inability to understand these sacred teachings. You are to be lovingly and sincerely devoted to bring them home the rare truth. Then it is up to them to acknowledge its worth and beauty. The Nam, the Sat Nam, the Eternal Word, is immanent in every form. He is in the poor, the rich, and the outcast. We are all brothers in God. And world brotherhood is the crying need of the day. True religion is the expression of the divinity already existing in man. nor is true religion to be found in rites or ceremonies or in creeds or forms. It is life. It is the mingling of the soul with the great life. It is not shut up in temples, but exists in love for all. Love knows service and sacrifice. There is no place where God is not. You will not find him in the gorgeous temples made of marble and stone. You will find him in the tears of the poor and the lost. True happiness lies in giving to others, not in self-seeking. We should not be worshippers of the God of conventions. We should raise our moral aspirations to the highest extent and realize in our own self God. God pervades throughout the universe, but can be contacted only by transcending the limitations of the senses. Try to study the Book of Life, our very self. Let us be careful not to confound the religions with creeds and forms. We should realize that the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. And that is the underlying unity of all religions. Wherever he may be, man must strive for nobility of character, self-control, and purity of heart. Purity in thought, word, and deed is essential. An ethical life is a stepping stone to spirituality. Spirituality, however, is not just ethical living. This must always be borne in mind. We must constantly remember that our aim is God, and we must not be concerned with anything that makes us forget this goal. We must be above party spirit and avoid party factions. Our whole life must be built upon love and humility, which are inseparable. If we make any spiritual progress, we must guard against pride. Instead of looking down upon our fellow beings, we must thank God for his grace and repay it by humbly helping our brethren in their material and spiritual need. If there are those who do not understand or who do not wish to understand truth, we must not feel irritated with them. They are as much God's children as we are and must be won over by love and persuasion. We are all laborers in the vineyard of God. I appreciate your loving thoughtfulness in serving the holy cause in a spirit of complete self-abnegation. Love is the supreme law with the masters. Love knows service and sacrifice. Those who sacrifice their lives at the altar of love are blessed with infinite bliss and harmony. Love begets love. Loving faith and loving devotion for gracious master power are the central theme of the sacred teachings of the masters. Your loving imploration for the sacred boon of love is auspicious. Such a humble supplication is sure to be granted, and you will be blessed with this priceless boon of love. Love is a kind emotion lying latent in the human heart. It is the innate impulse of the soul and is kindled in the august association of the Master. It is the fulfillment of divine law. It is a positive force of sanctifying grandeur, which, when harnessed carefully under the competent guidance of the Master, ensures complete salvation and liberation of the soul. It grants emancipation while living this earth life with the grace of the Master. It is the manifestation of goodness, irrespective of reciprocity or reward. I will be happy to see you all love one another, have confidence in one another, and pool your efforts for the holy cause of the Master. no loving sacrifice would be too great for the noble cause of the Master. Let our actions be guided by this principle. Love begets love, and love beautifies everything. This divine quality, when developed, works smoothly in harmony and peace, and will help in understanding one another. I have love for you all. I wish all the brothers could be more peaceful and would cooperate with the other. We are all working for the one cause, and we should be weaving the strands of love into all our affairs, so that others may be attracted by our perfect life. When one firmly grasps the one end of truth by self-introspection, say, for instance, sound listening at any time as ever-present, non-ceasing, etc., anywhere, he will have positive conviction of the path of truth. The same is the case with inner light, which comes from the kingdom of God. The science is natural and not man-made. It is verifiable. It is not a matter of feelings or inferences. It is one of seeing and hearing. Those who have eyes may see, and those who have ears may hear. With the inner experience of self, you will find yourself like a rock, immovable by a mere deluge of words from others. For feelings, emotions, and inferences are likely to waver. But actually seeing is above all. With self-experience of seeing, you grasp the science of nature fully and can explain lovingly to all what is true. I have read about your finances, which were set right by the overwhelming grace of the Master Power, who blesses the child disciple in all spheres of life. But speculation or gambling is a great sin, and as such, spiritual aspirants are warned not to indulge in it, in the larger interests of their spiritual progress. I would like to sow the seeds of love in your heart so that the feeling of love is brought to all, among all nations, creeds, sects, and castes of the world. All saints preached the same. Love, and all things shall be added unto you. If we wish to love God truly in the most practical way, we must love our fellow beings. We must love others as we do our dear ones. We should be happy in the happiness of others and suffer in the sufferings of others. We should endure all that comes cheerfully, accepting His will, and never hurt or harm any of His beings. You should know that to love God, we must live for God and die for God. Satsang is the central theme of the sacred teachings, and I always impress upon the dear ones here and abroad not to miss it, as it is during these precious moments when you are near the fountainhead of bliss and immortality that you grasp the true import of the teachings and assimilate the rare virtues of godliness by sitting in the charged atmosphere which is filled with His life impulses. Satsang is the sacred arena where spiritual stalwarts are built. It is the pool of nectar which grants blissful God intoxication, and where all differences of caste, creed, or country sink down to their lowest ebb. We are all brothers and sisters in God, and should attain this divine virtue of common brotherhood of man and fatherhood of God. Love one another faithfully and devotedly, so that others may know and see for themselves that you belong to the living Master. Remember, actions speak more clearly than eloquent words spoken under emotional impulses. Try to be like a fragrant flower which blooms in a forest and fills the atmosphere with its rich fragrance. You should know it for certain that you are divine in all respects and are the master of your destiny, which is full of higher potentialities. You are simply trying to change for the better and then firmly stick to your resolutions. All else is to follow of itself, as the gracious Master Power is at your side to extend all feasible help, grace, and protection. And I'll close there. Again, I was reading from Part 2 of Spiritual Elixir, Social Conduct and Ethical Life.
Thank you, Marcia, for reading for us. There were 84 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So, I love you as friends, I would say. I regard you as the children of light. Because I love God, and that light is everywhere, so I have to love you and have regard to you as well.